With that then, I welcome everyone to this special meeting of council on Friday, June 13th at 5 p.m. And I will call the meeting to order at 5. Are there any additions or edits or changes to the agenda?
No.
No. Then I will make a motion to accept the agenda as presented.
I'll make that motion.
Oh, no, too late. I already did.
I'm asking for a motion.
Yeah, I know. I just jumped straight to making the motion. All in favor? Carried. So the business of tonight, Village of Longview Council follow-up discussion of the April 29th, 2025 public hearing regarding proposed land use bylaw 477-25 to amend the land use bylaw 400-2017, proposal to redistrict to highway commercial land use district. And Jane, I guess I'll pass it on to you if you want to go over the report that you submitted to us for consideration.
Thank you. Just moving between two screens here. Just a sec. There we go. Okay. So during the public hearing, there was a number of different members of the community that provided testimony and identified some questions and some concerns with the proposed land use bylaw amendment. So we had prepared a report that I believe was in the agenda package that summarized the comments and questions that were received during the public hearing, and just provided some responses and some recommendations for council's consideration prior to considering the second and third reading of the bylaw. There were some very valid, I think, planning considerations raised during the public hearing. The comments predominantly related to whether or not there was the potential for off-site impacts from an RV storage facility, mainly on adjacent residential properties, but also there were some questions and concerns raised about how it would impact the aesthetic or the aesthetics of the village, and then also potential impacts on the road infrastructure, highway, as a regional and municipal infrastructure, that would need to be addressed as part of any development permit application and approval for a development like this within the village. So the comments related specifically to the location that it was proposed, how it impacted the village's image, whether or not there's a need for this type of development in the village, whether or not the proposed use in the district that it's been proposed to be included in was the most appropriate. There were some questions just related to where the development itself was at in relation to permits, and then just more specific questions about the types of activities that might occur on the lot, just to I think be able to understand what the types of impacts there would be on adjacent properties and infrastructure. Then there were some comments about potential vehicle traffic impacts, how the site would be accessed, and then the community standards bylaw, and then again more comments about potential impacts on adjacent residential properties. So there were some comments related to how engagement for a bylaw like this was to occur and what types of engagement could be included when considering this type of an amendment. And then some comments about how this type of a development might impact crime or property values, drainage, what the potential economic benefits would be, both some comments that were, you know, in support of the development and some comments that were opposed to, and then some comments about site security. So in considering those the information received in the comments, what we're recommending is that council, prior to giving consideration of second reading of the bylaw, give consideration to a motion to amend the bylaw to include some additional special provisions that would relate specifically to this use class. And the intention behind including these special provisions is to ensure that the site is designed in such a way that it would mitigate any of the potential off-site impacts that were identified in the testimony during the public hearing. So I'd just like to take you through the amendments to the bylaw that we are proposing for council to consider prior to proceeding to consideration of second reading. So that would be the Schedule A that's attached to our report for anyone who's following along. And what we're suggesting is that in your special provisions section, you include a new section that deals entirely with recreational vehicle storage. So this would include having some regulations that relate to access, and say access on the lot where there's this type of a use or recreational storage facility shall be hard surface to prevent mud tracking onto municipal roads and be located and constructed in accordance with village standards. The next one is that access to the recreational vehicle storage development shall not be provided using alleys or roads primarily used primarily for residential purposes, and that's just to minimize negative impacts on those adjacent residential parcels. That the recreational vehicle storage use shall not include hazardous materials or goods, salvage or abandoned vehicles or equipment, storage of inoperable or unsightly recreational vehicles, construction material, vehicles or goods of a non-recreational nature, discarded or recyclable materials similar to the above, or day use or overnight stays. So it is distinctly different from a campground, and it couldn't inadvertently or over time turn into a salvage yard or junkyard sort of situation. It would be specifically for recreational vehicle storage. There's also some provisions that relate to site design, so how large the stalls would need to be. There's some minimum width and length requirements identified within this section. Information about the drive aisle minimums, just to ensure safe vehicle circulation through the site. And then some regulations that relate to the location and dimensions of storage spaces and drive aisles, and to make sure that that information is included as part of any future development permit application. So it's clear for a development proponent, they understand what they would need to include with their application. The next one is a requirement for fencing. So it says the entire boundaries of the recreational vehicle storage development will be fenced to the satisfaction of the development authority. Where the fencing is used, it'll be used in conjunction with existing, new, or enhanced natural vegetation for screening. And the idea behind that is that the fencing would help with security, but it doesn't always help with the visual buffer that I think would be necessary, or pretty much anywhere in the village, just considering your size and the proximity of adjacent residential developments. The next one is specific to that situation, where a recreational vehicle storage facility abuts a residential district. The storage area will be substantially screened year-round from the adjacent dwellings and roads using fencing and natural vegetation, topography, or existing buildings. Despite that first requirement, where the storage area does not contain existing natural vegetation, topography, or existing buildings to provide screening, development permit may be considered where a new enhanced vegetation or screening that consists of, and then it just talks about the types of trees that would be required. And there's a minimum requirement for 70% coniferous trees that are to grow to be at least 2.5 meters in height, so that there's visual buffer between the development and the adjacent residential development year round. That's where that's trying to go with that. The vegetation or screening shall be a minimum of 10 meters in width, measured from the property boundary adjacent to the residential development. So there has to be some depth to it too, in order to ensure that it functions as a proper buffer. The next requirement is that in addition to the application requirements, the application should include plan detailing the existing or new enhanced natural screening and planting, where it will be, the area, the species, the height, and where applicable, the caliper of the trees, and then provide some information about topography, just so you can see how the buffer might work. We have had sites from time to time where you have these requirements for buffering, but the site itself is actually much lower than where the residential properties are, and so the buffer isn't effective, and that's why that requirement is in there. And then the last one there is for lighting and surveillance equipment to be screened and directed to restrict light pollution into nearby residential areas and protect homeowner privacy. So it is desirable for these types of developments to have some lighting within them, just for their own security, and also often some surveillance equipment. And that can be a bit of a concern for adjacent property owners if it's not directed appropriately, because it can, you know, create light pollution for them and definitely create a feeling of less privacy. So that's why that one is included. There's four more. They are that the recreational vehicle storage facilities not be made accessible 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to customers or clients. just so that there is a requirement to identify maximum hours of operation so that there are some quiet time on the site. And then that garbage be stored in a weatherproof and animal-proof container that's screened from adjacent residential and commercial sites, but is also easy to access for pickup. And then that outside storage areas be screened from adjacent residential and commercial sites and thoroughfares. And then the last one is that prior to issuing a permit for recreational vehicle storage development, the proponents prepare a stormwater management plan to the satisfaction of the development authority. And then adherence to that stormwater management plan would be a condition of development approval. I think one or two of the people who spoke at the public hearing also indicated that they had concerns with how the surface water would be managed. And so 12 has been added in order to alleviate, I guess, that concern. In our conversations, our earlier conversations with the development proponents who proposed the land use bylaw amendment, some of these things had already been addressed and communicated to them that they would be requirements, but it is, I think, a much more appropriate way to handle it to actually identify these things as requirements in the land use bylaw. And then it's clear for everybody what the expectation would be going forward, and it would apply to this site. And then if there were ever, you know, another site where this type of a development were proposed within the community, the expectations would be clearly communicated and be the same. So that's why we're recommending this amendment to the proposed bylaw for council to consider. Happy to accept any questions that council may have.
Thanks a lot, Jane, for summarizing all of that. It's a lot of information. I think I'm going to turn it over to council now for our open table discussion. And then if anything comes up, we can ask Jane questions as they arise during our discussion. So who would like to kick off with thoughts and comments about this bylaw amendment? Does council have any questions or concerns about the amendment?
I can't think of any questions at the moment. I think they've answered all the other questions and everything quite well in this.
I'm the same. The biggest one was the 8, and with the concerns of the buffering and everything else, and so that one was answered. All the other concerns are things that it's been covered, and I'm quite pleased with what's been done here for this.
Yeah, this whole topic is very important for our village, and it's a decision that I take very seriously. I've been thinking about it since we got notice of the land use bylaw application, and then through the public hearing, we had very good information brought to our table to consider. I appreciate MPS. Thank you for the summary of the public hearing and for taking all of those comments into consideration and trying to find a solution for them. And I've gone through pros and cons about approving this land use bylaw amendment, and I think with the suggestions that have been offered in this amendment, it covers a lot of the concerns that I could think of. I can't think of anything else that isn't covered that we need to cover. I've considered the residential and the impact of having an RV storage. I've considered, is an RV storage an ideal opportunity for this land? I'm hesitant on that one. And then I know that that land is sat empty for 20 years, if not longer. So to see some kind of development is something. but that doesn't mean it should go ahead just because it's something. This council's always worked towards finding a compromise in every situation, and we've always considered the future of the village. This is a yes or no question. So that makes it difficult. I appreciate the amendment for addressing any traffic. I appreciate, I'm in favor of having some kind of business, especially when we have a car wash coming in. I think that'll work hand in hand quite nicely together. And then for people coming in and dropping off their units, they'll go and visit all of our amazing businesses here. I've considered the highway commercial zoning. Is that ideal for this land? In looking at the land use bylaw and all of the specifics of it, making it industrial would open us up to having more impactful commercial developed on that land, where with the highway commercial we have a little bit more control, especially with having RV storage unit as a discretionary. It doesn't mean anybody and everybody can come and build. They have to go through the process of approval. One thing, Jane, in the amendment, there's nothing in there about sanitation, sani dumps for the trailers that are parked in this commercial development. Is that something that we should consider, putting into the land use bylaw amendment, or can that be handled on a development agreement?
That's a good question. I know that our office had a conversation internally about that as well, whether or not it was something that should be addressed in the special provisions or not. And we internally were thinking about it, you know, in relation to all RV storage facilities. And I think there are some RV storage facilities where it makes sense for there to be a sani dump included as part of the development. And then there are other locations where it isn't appropriate for it to be included as part of the development. So we were reluctant to have a blanket statement that said that you can't, right. Because there's some places where perhaps it would be okay. So where we landed with it is that it would be something that needed to be discussed as part of a development permit application, and how, you know, if that were to be part of a proposed RV storage facility, where would it be located? How would it be treated? How would the potential, off-site impacts be mitigated? I have definitely seen sandy dumps located adjacent to residential areas. And as long as the spill containment is sorted out and they've got drainage for the surface water, there aren't significant off-site impacts, but they have to be designed in a very specific way. So,
yeah, the intent of my question was more to say no to it. I would not encourage it. I prefer to have it as a solid no, it's not possible.
Yeah, that could be added, and yeah, we went back and forth too. So if that's in the direction council wants to go, that this amendment could be amended to include that.
At this point, my opinion on that too is not to have this site have one. We have one at the other end of town that, to me, maybe we could upgrade to be more user friendly, that they dump their trailers there before they even store them.
Mm-hmm. And then just as a reminder, Jane, this is only for a small portion of that 15 acres, right? The remainder of the 15 acres stays urban reserve?
That's correct, yeah. So absolutely, if that was the will of council, the amendment could be added to include a provision that said RV storage facilities shall not include sandy dump stations. And then that would be very clear.
Thoughts?
I said my thought already.
I think that should be included.
Yeah, I agree.
So we're going to have that addition to the amendment.
Okay. With, I can make
with, sorry, Jane, with this highway commercial rezoning, if the proponent chooses not to go through with an RV storage unit, then we're looking at other highway commercial opportunities.
That's correct. Yep, the list of permitted and discretionary uses in the district would still be available to the landowner. So they would have to apply for development permit, you know, to do any of those things and go through that process. But yeah, they could apply for any of the permitted or discretionary uses in the district.
Are there any other highway commercial that we don't want to see back there? Like, that would make us not want it to be highway commercial? I can't think of anything. I'm okay with all of the different highway commercial opportunities. In considering traffic, you've addressed that and having access from, I'm drawing a blank on the name of the road.
Foothills.
I appreciate that. I know that there was, I considered the concerns about having an RV storage unit if the proponent decides to go that route within the village, and why not have it on the outskirts. The irony for me on that one is that that is the outskirts of the village. Our municipal boundaries are on the east side. We don't have any geographical outskirts. Other than that 15 acres. I do appreciate point 8 in the amendment that discusses the screening and the fencing and the topography and natural vegetation. Red Deer Lakes has an RV storage unit on Highway 22, and their landscaping and fencing is quite attractive. And I appreciate that as an example, because I know when we think of RV storage units, we think of unsightly recreational vehicles and becoming a, what was the word that you used, Jane?
That's a good question.
With rundown vehicles discarded materials and
salvager.
Yeah, salvager. Thank you, Roy. This would protect everybody from that. So yeah, I appreciate point 8. The stormwater management is important. The view is important. The noise is important. And I feel like all of these things have been covered. Yeah.
One, I'm not the decision maker, but thank you for allowing me to speak. One item I thought could be very, very important is value or devaluation or so on. So maybe if I or we could ask Jane just to speak a bit about, you know, how that's going to be okay moving forward. I will throw in that the assessor for the village, sorry, that the assessor for the village has advised us that in terms of the work he does, which should be based on market values, that he did not feel that there was going to be not even significant, but it was not a factor that he thought would be concerning, that there wouldn't be a devaluation there. So I just thought I'd throw that in, because that's really the only pertinent input, you know, we had when we, when we kind of looked at some of these things. And personally, I thought that would be a big one, you know, if I had a property there, so on. Anyways, if Jane or MPS might be willing to say a bit about that, we have only heard from the assessor.
Thank you for sharing.
I don't have anything. Yeah, I don't have anything further to add. The assessor is the right person to ask. Anything that I said would be my opinion or me speculating, but the assessor is the right person to respond. So that was a good idea.
Is there anything else council would like to touch on for us to discuss? I know I appreciate putting RV storage units under discretionary use within the highway commercial. I know that when thinking about the future of the village of Longview, I know I don't want it to turn into an RV storage unit village. But I do want to encourage commercial business. I know that small communities like ours have a hard time surviving on residential property taxes. If we can bring in small businesses like this, it's a benefit to the future of the future financial position of the village. Then I start to wonder, does having an RV storage unit or any kind of other highway commercial business in that location take away from the small town community that we have? And I don't think so. I think it's within every council's purview to keep an eye on that one. And then it's the residents that make that small town feel, right? Like if it was a Tim Hortons that wanted to move in, I know that would be a no. You know, if it was a Dollarama, that would be a no. To have it open to highway commercial is an opportunity for the village to grow with businesses, to grow with job opportunities, to grow with financial benefits to the other businesses. Right, like having highway commercial as the zoning for me, with care and concern about the impact to the residents, is the balance that we're working towards, and that's what I see happening with these amendments. So I'll open it. I'll say again, you're looking thoughtfully, Aaron. I'll give you a minute.
No, I'm good.
I'm good.
Okay, then I will call for a motion regarding the amendment of the land use bylaw and rezoning. Oh, sorry, first step is, yeah.
We do have some script to guide us here. Just if I may ask Jane, in terms of there was one add-on that came out tonight about the Sani dump. So could we just add in, say, as amended to the motions that we were gonna run with?
Yes, you can. So the second motion that is, I guess, on the table for council's consideration this evening would be the amending motion. And I would adjust the wording of that to say, that you're giving, to approve the amending motion to bylaw, I'm sorry, I haven't got the bylaw number right in front of me.
477-25
to include as clause 21.1313. The following regulation, and it would be that recreational vehicle storage developments shall not include Sani dump facilities. We'll put that right into the minutes.
Okay, so we can call that 21.3?
21.13, so 21, 12, or 13, yeah.
Okay, and then it's that Sani dumps would not be allowed.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we got enough of notes to kind of...
I'm good. Okay. I'm wondering if it'll be 2114, because 2113 says prior to issuance of a development permit for a recreational vehicle storage development, they'll prepare a stormwater management plan. Should it be 2114?
No.
It'll be whatever the next number is.
Yeah, whatever the next number is. Okay, so the next number is 14. Oh, you have 12. Why do I have 13? Okay.
So 13 is the next one, correct? Jane?
14.
What's in your council agenda package? Mine is from my servers. Let's go with what you've got.
So if I could just interject. So I'm looking at Schedule 8, to be very exact here. And Schedule A, the last point on Schedule A that was published was number 12. So I'm not a... Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Okay. So there is, in fact, a 13 on the actual... document that's called bylaw 47725. So I caught up. Okay, I was just checking. So it would be 14. Is that fair enough for everybody? Yes. So we are logging number 14, and we don't need a 1 or C, or it's just 14, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so I'll make the motion that the June 13th, 2025 Municipal Planning Services report on matters raised at the public hearing for bylaw 477-25 be accepted for information. All in favor? Carried. So then I'll call for a motion that the bylaw be amended with the amendment of clause 21.14, no sandy dumps.
I will make the motion with the amendments to the
amendment to the amendment?
Yeah. Adding the 21.14 to the bylaw 477-25 to include the changes identified in the Schedule A of the June
13th.
What, 13th? Yeah, say 13th, but
today, yeah.
Yeah, June 13th.
Or I guess just June, just the June report, yeah. Because we got their report in June.
Yeah, they are legally just June.
So yeah, it's just June. Okay, so Aaron makes the motion. It's on the table. All in favor? Yeah. Carried. So now we move on to amending the bylaw and doing the second reading of the bylaw, unless there's any other discussion, questions, concerns that council wants to raise. I'll call for a motion for...
Jane, may I ask for a further clarification?
Yes.
So on the following readings 2 through 3, there's no further need for the additional amendment, right? That was just for the preceding that we just covered, yes? So we could just run with the wording we'd planned in advance.
Yes, you can.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so I'll call for a motion for the second reading of bylaw 477-25.
I'll make that motion. Bylaw 477-25 as amended, being a bylaw to amend bylaw 400-17, the Village Longview Land Use Bylaw, be given second reading.
All in favor? Carried. And I will make the motion that bylaw 477-25 is amended, being a bylaw to amend bylaw 400-17, the Village of Longview Land Use Bylaw, proceed to third and final reading. All in favor? And that's carried unanimously.
And I'll move that the bylaw 477-25 as amended, being the bylaw to amend bylaw 400-17, the Village of Longview Land Use Bylaw, be given a third reading.
Any questions, concerns, discussion on all of the amendments proposed by MPS and the topic of rezoning from urban reserve to highway commercial?
I don't.
All in favor? Carried. All right, so that concludes our agenda for this special meeting tonight. So I will adjourn the meeting at 5:36.